Secretary of State John Kerry attacked the foreign policies of President Trump in a speech before the virtual Democratic National Convention, saying Trump doesn't know how to defend the troops and is more interested in defending himself. Former President Jimmy Carter also delivered remarks Tuesday calling on the nation to opt for a Biden presidency. Republicans plan to hold a similar series of events next week to nominate Donald Trump to run for a second presidential term. After making speeches in several battleground states this week, Mr. Trump expected next week to make his acceptance speech from the White House. For more on the presidential race, visit our website, voanews.com. By a remote, this is VOA News. Mali President, former President Ibrahim Boubacar Keita announced his immediate resignation late Tuesday night on state TV, hours after mutinous soldiers fired shots into the air outside his home before being detained, along with the Prime Minister. 75-year-old Keita said he wished to avoid any bloodshed in his resignation speech. Keita and Prime Minister Bouba Cissé were reportedly taken to a military camp. The West African Economic Bloc, ECOWAS, sealed its states' borders with Mali after Keita and Cissé's arrest and suspended all financial transactions between Mali and from its decision-making bodies. Keita's resignation comes after several months of regular demonstrations calling for him to step down from power 3 years before his final term was due to end. U.S. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy promising that mailed-in ballots in the November 3rd presidential election will be delivered on time. DeJoy suspended all cost-cutting measures at the agency until after the election. The Democrats claim would possibly have kept millions of votes from being sent to election officials to be counted. DeJoy, a wealthy campaign donor to President Trump, appointed to the head U.S. Postal Office, said the cost-cutting measures he has undertaken at the deficit-ridden agency.
Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Wednesday, August 19th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Mali's M5RHP welcomes army mutiny, but says protests will continue until President Keita officially resigns.
What we hear so far is that the mutineers took him and his family to Kati, which are military base there. But what we're trying to say here is that the M5 has planned some activities today and will proceed with those activities.
We'll have expert analysis of the crisis in Mali. Amnesty International accuses Ivorian police of
until he resigns.
I'm sure you know that the United States has said that it is opposed to all extra constitutional changes of government, whether it is by those in the street or security forces. The Economic Community of West African States is also calling on the mutineers to return to their barracks.
Well, what we want to tell the ECOWAS or United Nations is that the Malian people stood today to fight for democracy. This man was not elected. He rigged election and he imposed himself, and the Malian people never accepted that. All we're asking him is to resign. The military people are not involved in this change, so we're not going to call it a military coup or anything like that. This is the Malian people standing, and the military people standing and protect the population who are demanding the president to resign. So we don't believe that the military are involved in the change of power. It is the Malian people, and this happens everywhere. It happened in Egypt when people stood up and said to the president, you do not represent the people. And the military said, we cannot kill our brothers and sisters. Remember, this president killed 28 people just a couple of weeks ago when we protest in Bamako and in Sikasso and in Kai, where they abused and detained so many people. They have so many political prisoners today. So the military people are brothers and sisters who stood up and said, we will not let our sisters and brothers be killed by an incompetent government. The M5RFP, our movement, with the people behind us.
as the 2012 coup d'etat, and it comes after weeks of protests calling on President Ibrahim Boubacar Keïta to step down. Corinne Dufcat, Sahel Director for Human Rights Watch, has been researching Mali's military actions in the crisis torn north for years. She spoke to Ricky Stryak about current military grievances and context of yesterday's mutiny.
Yeah, well, it's early days, so it's difficult to know what's at the origin of this particular
scene from the public already.
There's been a tremendous amount of effort by the Malians and also by the international community to professionalize the Malian army. And while there have been way too many allegations of abuse and not enough progress at ensuring investigations and accountability for allegations of abuse by them, there has been effort to reform the military. The Ministry of Defense, and there had been some progress along those lines. That said, there were persistent allegations of some governance problems within the military. The Malian military has suffered really significant losses of personnel as young soldiers have died in the scores in brash, and discipline was a problem.
You mentioned the history of Kati. I mean, the 2012 coup happened there, and is it worrisome? Because Mali is in a much worse state now, security-wise, than it was in 2012.
Mali's security challenges have increased exponentially since the 2012 coup, as armed Islamists have spread from the north into central and even elsewhere in Mali. That insecurity has led to significant communal tension and violence by opposing ethnic militias, and in which hundreds of civilians have been killed. There are ambushes and IEDs and attacks on villages that happen.
Amnesty has called on Ivorian authorities to undertake a thorough and impartial investigation into the allegations of human rights abuses.
Since the protest started a few days ago, we have tried to collect information from the ground because we have partners and contact, of course, in Côte d'Ivoire. And we've been able to collect several testimonies that confirmed what we have probably seen in those videos, showing cross-check the testimonies from police officers that were on the ground and that were shocked to see their chiefs allowing those dozens of men armed with machetes and sticks, assaulting protesters, you know, as if they were doing the police job.
What does Amnesty know in terms of the exact number of people who might have been killed or even arrested from this protest?
Officially now, and authorities talk about 5 people that were killed, most of them outside of Abidjan. We have not investigated this specific case.
If what Amnesty is saying is true, what is your biggest fear?
This is absolutely worrying because those people, of course, are neither trained nor accountable, and they are not supposed to be managing protests. So it is really worrying. And more particularly, of course, when you know the history of Côte d'Ivoire and the way they used unofficial law enforcement agents in Côte d'Ivoire. So we have previously documented all those human rights abuses committed by armed men in civilian clothes. So it's really worrying that we could see this happening now, more particularly in this very, very tense context.
You have called on the authorities to do an independent investigation. Is it likely that the government will do this?
What we are asking authorities is first to immediately stop these groups of men from committing further crimes, because it happened in several places and several times, not only on the 13th, the day of the main protest, but also yesterday morning, for instance, in the district of Yopougon in Abidjan. So this is apparently a kind of modus operandi.
Sovereign Council to rule Sudan until elections. But a legislative body has yet to be formed. As Naba Mohideen reports from Khartoum, the civilian leadership has struggled to assert its authority against their military counterpart.
Hundreds of protesters gathered near the Council of Ministers in Khartoum on Tuesday, wearing and holding Sudan's flag and chanting for reforms. At another event Monday, riot police arrested dozens of protesters and fired tear gas to disperse the crowd, Khalid Ahmed was one of the protest leaders who helped end the iron-fisted rule of longtime President Omar al-Bashir. He said he's surprised that a little over a year later, he's participating in a new wave of protests. Ahmed says nobody could ever imagine that he would ever march against the new government, especially given that it was created after huge sacrifices. He says if these protesters' demands for reforms are not met, wider anti-government demonstrations are expected against the transitional authorities. On the peace process, the transitional authorities recently announced the completion of security procedures with the rebel groups and said a final agreement could be signed within a few weeks. The transitional government has also blitzed to hand over Bashir and allies of his regime to the International Criminal Court to face trial on war crimes and genocide charges related to the Darfur conflict, which left 300,000 people dead and millions displaced. The former president and his aides are currently in a federal prison, awaiting trial on charges of undermining the constitution in the 1989 military coup that brought them to power. Naba Muhyiddin.
Next. General Tumukunde, a former security minister in President Yoweri Museveni's government, has announced his intention to run for president in Uganda's 2021 election. Beatrice Kiraso is coordinator of political and administrative affairs for General Tumukunde's Reform Uganda Pressure Group. She says the authorities are engaging in selective justice.
Today, the general left his office and went to a place called Buyukwe. Buyukwe is on Jinja Road just before you get into Jinja Town. And he went to consult a few of his supporters and coordinators, as is provided for in the Presidential Elections Act. I'm very sure that the COVID-19 health regulations were followed because there was social distancing and everybody was wearing a mask. He was meeting a group of only 10 people, but no sooner had they started than the police came and raided the place where they were meeting. So the general was taken to the police station.
My understanding is that he has retired from the military and he wants to run for president.
You know, like retired or army officers who have left the army. So there are two issues here.
Do you think this is happening because the government might think he is in violation of election law, because you are not supposed to, according to the Elections Commission, to campaign, you are only supposed to campaign virtually?
Yeah, you're supposed to campaign virtually, but then the guidelines that they issued, they allowed that you could meet limited numbers of people physically. And it's happening all over the other political parties. The ruling political party, for example, are holding big rallies, processions. So this is selective justice.
The general made a comment on Tuesday saying that he knows how to stop rigging ahead of a planned July 31st protest against poor governance in Zimbabwe. The judge accused Mtetwa of posting on social media disparaging information about the court. The judge asked the prosecutor general to prosecute Mtetwa for contempt. He also sent the copy of his ruling to the Law Society of Zimbabwe. Mtetwa denies disparaging the court on Facebook, but she said the referral to the Law Society is probably the best opportunity that she has to officially show that the Zimbabwe judiciary is not independent.
As you'll be aware, last week the prosecutor applied to have me removed from the case on the basis of what they said were my comments on my Facebook page. And when they produced what they believed were my comments, it turned out that they were actually referring to a Facebook page that's run and operated by Laurie Conway, who is a documentary filmmaker and who had done a documentary about myself and my work called Beatrice Mtetwa and the Rule of Law. So obviously we led evidence to show that I'm not on Facebook. That's not my Facebook page, and that the comments were actually not mine.
Beatrice, the judge says that the prosecutor general consider institution of prosecution against the Lee Council. That means you. Can you be prosecuted for this?
Well, it was the prosecutor general who asked the magistrate to remove me from the case anyway. I don't know what they'll prosecute me for. He says...
Journalist Chigono and his co-defendant.
As I said, we had anticipated my removal, so we had engaged an advocate who started handling the case today and started the bail application today. It has been postponed to tomorrow for continuation of the bail hearing. Jacob's bail hearing was heard yesterday, and the decision is expected on Friday.
Beatrice Mtetwa is the lawyer for jailed Zimbabwe journalist Hopewell Chigono. She was speaking with us from the capital, Harare. And that's it for this Wednesday, August 19th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer Nicole Beckford, reporters Peter Clotty and Reiki Stryak, as well as sports editor Samson O'Malley.